Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra. Oh. Jaya, Jaya, wait a minute, how do you do? Okay, all right, got it. Jaya, Jaya, Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, continuing the readings past, what's that? Somebody say something? Or am I hearing things? Okay, continuing with the reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this morning we are going to be hearing about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes with the Chand Kazi, little action this morning, instead of all that devotional stuff with all these incarnations and forms and everything and ecstatic chanting. We'll hear about some civil disobedience and protest, which I can relate to. Okay, so 121. The Lord ordered all the citizens of Navadvipa to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and in each and every home they began performing Sankirtan regularly. All the devotees sang this popular song along with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Namaha Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. When the Sankirtan movement thus started, so apparently this was actually the inauguration of Harinam, public chanting, when Lord Chaitanya ordered the devotees to go out and chant. No one in Navadvipa could hear any other sound than the words Hari Hari and the beating of the madunga and the clashing of handbells, also known as cartels. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness now has its world center in Navadvipa, Mayapur. The managers of this center should see that 24 hours a day there is chanting of the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, with the addition of Hareye Namaha, Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. For this song was a favorite of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But all such Sankirtan must be preceded by the chanting of the holy names of the five tattvas, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Adwaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are already accustomed to chant these two mantras, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Adwaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, after these, the other two lines, namely Hareye Namaha, Krishna Yadavaya Namaha, Gopal Govinda Ram, Sri Madhusudana, should be added, especially in Mayapur. Chanting of these six lines should go on so perfectly well that no one there hears any other vibration than the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That will make the center spiritually all perfect. They still do that in Mayapur, Savas? They still do this in Mayapur?
Yeah.
Good. In that little hut out front. What's that? Hearing the resounding vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, the local Mohammedans, greatly angry, submitted a complaint to the Qazi. So this jihad has been going on for a long time. But I won't inject too much politics here. The Fajidara, or city magistrate, was called the Qazi. The Jamidaras, Zamindars, or landholders, the Mandalaras, levy taxes on the land, but keeping law and order and punishing criminals was the duty entrusted to the Qazi. Both the Qazi and the landowners were under the control of the governor of Bengal, which at that time was known as Shubha Bangala. The districts of Nadia, Ishlampur, and Bagoyana were all under the zamindar named Hari Hoda, or the descendant, or his descendant known as Krishna Das Hoda. It is said that Chand Kazni was the spiritual master of Nawab Hussain Shah. According to one opinion, his name was Maulana Sirajuddina. And according to another, his name was Habibar, these Muslim names, Habibar Rahman. Descendants of Chand Kazni are still living in the vicinity of Mayapur. People still go to see the tomb of Chand Kazni, which is underneath a champaka tree and is known as Chand Kazni's Samadhi. Translation. Chand Kazni angrily came to one home in the evening, and when he saw kirtan going on, he broke a madanga and spoke as follows. Another translation. For so long as you did not follow the regulative principles of the Hindu religion, but now you are following them with great enthusiasm. I got to reread that. For so long you did not follow the regulative principles of the Hindu religion, but now you are following them with great enthusiasm. May I know by whose strength you are doing so. Purport. It appears that from the aggression of the Bhaktiyar Kaliji in Bengal until the time of Chand Kazni, Hindus or the followers of the Vedic principles were greatly suppressed. Like the Hindus in present-day Pakistan, this is pretty relevant stuff. This was going on hundreds and hundreds of years ago in the 15th century. Practically no one could execute the Hindu religious principles freely. Chand Kazni referred to this condition of Hindu society. Formerly, the Hindus had not been straightforward in executing their Hindu principles. That's probably why Krishna let the Muslims invade India. But now they are freely chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, it must have been by the strength of someone else that they were so daring. Actually, that was a fact. Although the members of the so-called Hindu society had followed the social customs and formulas, they had practically forgotten to execute the religious principles strictly. But with the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually began following the regulative principles according to his order. That order is still existing, and anywhere and everywhere in all parts of the world, one can execute it. That order is to become a spiritual master under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by following the regulative principles, chanting daily at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness all over the world. If we adhere to the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we shall get spiritual strength without a doubt, and we shall be free to preach this cult of the Hare Krishna movement and not be hampered by anyone. Whenever I read this story, I always think of Bombay when they tried to shut the temple down there. Translation. No one should perform sankirtan in the streets of the city. Today, I am excusing the offense and returning home. This is the Kazni speaking to the devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Such orders, stopping sankirtan in the streets of the world's great cities, have been imposed upon members of the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada's getting a few jabs in here. We have hundreds of centers all over the world, and we have been specifically persecuted in Australia. In most cities, boy, Australia's in trouble. In most cities, thank goodness for Madhavisa Prabhu. In most cities of the Western world, we have been arrested many times by the police. Spent many long time in jail. Including Atlanta, so us. But we are nevertheless executing the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting on the streets of all the important cities like New York, London, Chicago, Sydney, Melbourne, Paris, and Hamburg. We must remember that such incidents took place in the past 500 years ago, and the fact that they are still going on indicates that our Sankirtan movement is really authorized. For if sankirtan were an insignificant material affair, demons would not object to it. So if you get arrested, that means you're doing something right, not wrong. So I must be doing a lot of stuff right, because I went to jail a lot of times. The demons of the time, because of the Christians in Florida, they were very envious. The demons of the time tried to obstruct the Sankirtan movement started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similar demons are trying to obstruct the Sankirtan movement we are executing all over the world, and this proves that our Sankirtan movement is still pure and genuine, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Translation. The next time I see someone performing such Sankirtan, certainly I shall chastise him by not only confiscating all of his property, but also converting him into a Mohammedan. Purport by Prabhupada. To convert a Hindu into a Mohammedan was an easy affair in those days. If a Mohammedan simply sprinkled water on the body of a Hindu, it was supposed that the Hindu had already become a Mohammedan. During the transition of the British in Bangladesh, during the last Hindu-Muslim riots, many Hindus were converted into Mohammedans by having cow flesh forcibly pushed into their mouths. What a tolerant religion, this Muslims, the jihadists, not the normal. Hindu society was so rigid at the time of Lord Chaitanya that if a Hindu were converted into a Mohammedan, there was no chance of his being reformed. In this way, the Mohammedan population in India increased. None of the Mohammedans, it probably is giving us a great history lesson here. None of the Mohammedans, if you want to know what's going on with this Hindu Pakistan and all this jihad all over the world, probably it's giving us the genesis, the origin of where this all, at least in terms of the Hindu conflict, where it all began. None of the Mohammedans came from outside. Social customs somehow or other forced Hindus to become Mohammedans with no chance of returning to Hindu society. Aurangzeb also inaugurated a tax that Hindus had to pay because of their being Hindus. Thus, all the poor Hindus of the lower class voluntarily became Mohammedans to avoid the tax. In this way, the Mohammedan population in India increased. Chand Kazi threatened to convert the people into Mohammedans by the simple process of sprinkling water on their bodies, because they identified with their bodies. They thought that was all that it took. Translation. After saying this, the Kazi returned home, and the devotees, greatly shocked that they were forbidden to chant Hare Krishna. That's why this reminds me so much of the situation in Mumbai, is because when we didn't get the occupancy permit, Prabhupada was stunned. I remember this because I was in Bombay when this happened. Those of us who were left in India after the Gaur Purnima festival, particularly me and Balabhanta, we were sent to Bombay because this happened, and Prabhupada was livid. He was furious. It was really ecstatic to see Prabhupada in that Lord Nrsingadev mode. But because they had not given us the permit for the deities and the temple, Prabhupada was just absolutely livid. After saying this, the Kazi returned home, and the devotees, greatly shocked that they were forbidden to chant Hare Krishna, submitted their grief to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Translation. Lord Chaitanya ordered, "Go perform Sankirtan. Today I shall kill all the Mohammedans." What Prabhupada did, though, he sent Vishnu John Maharaj out with a Sankirtan party every day into downtown Bombay to show, as an act of defiance, to show everybody how unhappy he was. He sent Vishnu John and a big Sankirtan party downtown Bombay every day until it was resolved. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Gandhi is known for having started the movement of nonviolent civil disobedience in India. But about 500 years before him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his movement of nonviolent civil disobedience to the order of Chand Kazi. It is not necessary to commit violence to stop the opposition from hindering a movement, for one can kill their demonic behavior with reason and argument. Following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever there are obstacles, the Hare Krishna movement should kill the opposition with reason and argument and thus stop their demoniac behavior. If we become violent in every case, it would be difficult for us to manage our affairs. We should therefore follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who disobeyed the order of Chankazi, but subdued him with reason and argument. And once asked Prabhupada a question if we could do civil disobedience. He said, no, we have been very successful in the courts. So you should just take it to court. But if as a last resort, you can do civil disobedience. He said that. As a last resort. For me, it's a first resort. Returning home, all the citizens began performing sankirtan. But because of the order of the Qazi, they were not carefree, but always full of anxiety. Understanding the anxiety, I'll just go and read, and I won't say translation, but I will say purport. Understanding the anxiety within the people's minds, the Lord called them together and spoke to them as follows. In the evening I shall perform sankirtan in each and every town. Therefore you should all decorate the city in the evening. Purport. At that time, Navadvipa was composed of 9 small cities, so the words Nagare, Nagare are significant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to perform kirtan at each of these neighboring towns. He ordered the city decorated for the function. Translation. In the evening, burn torchlights in every home. I shall give protection to everyone. Let us see what kind of Qazi comes to stop our kirtan. Threw down the gauntlet. In the evening, Lord Gaurasundar went out and formed 3 parties to perform kirtan. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a scheme for performing kirtan in a procession. During Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, 1 party was composed of 21 men, 4 people playing madangas, 1 leading the chanting, and 16 others striking kartals, responding to the leading chanter. If many men join in the sankirtan movement, they may follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and form different parties according to the time and the number of men available. Do you still do that on Harinam? Anywhere. And when they have enough devotees, do they follow this instruction to have 4 madanga players and 16 kartal players? Prabhupada says here, 16 other striking kartals. You might want to keep that in mind. Translation. In the front party danced Thakur Haridas, and in the middle of the party danced Advaita Acharya with great jubilation. Lord Gaurasundar himself danced in the rear party, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu moved with Lord Chaitanya's dancing. By the grace of the Lord, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described this incident in his Chaitanya Mangala. Performing kirtan in this way, circumambulating through every nook and corner of the city, they finally reached the door of the Qazi. Murmuring in anger and making a roaring sound, the people, under the protection of Lord Chaitanya, became mad through such indulgence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Qazi had issued an order not to perform kirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But when this was brought up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered civil disobedience to the Qazi's order. Lord Chaitanya and all his devotees, naturally enthusiastic, although agitated, must have made a great noise with their loud cries. That's great. Translation. The loud sound of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra certainly made the Qazi very much afraid, and he hid himself within his room. The big bad Qazi. Hearing the people thus protesting, murmuring in great anger, the Qazi would not come out of his home. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Qazi's order not to perform sankirtan could not stand only as long as there was no civil disobedience. I think I must have asked Prabhupada after I read this. Under the leadership of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the chanters, increasing in number, disobeyed the order of the Qazi. Thousands assembled together and formed parties, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, making a tumultuous sound of protest. Thus the Qazi was very much afraid, as naturally one should be under such circumstances. In the present day also, people all over the world may join together in the Christian consciousness movement and protest against the present degraded governments of the world's godless societies, which are based on all kinds of sinful activities. The Srimad Bhagavatam states that in the age of Kali, thieves, rogues, and fourth-class people who have neither education nor culture capture the seats of government to exploit the citizens. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga that has already appeared. People cannot feel secure about their lives and property, yet the so-called governments continue and its ministers get fat salaries, although they are unable to do anything good for society. The only remedy for such conditions is to enhance the Sankirtan movement under the banner of Krishna consciousness and protest against the sinful activities of the world's governments. The Krishna conscious movement is not a sentimental religious movement. It is a movement for the reformation of all the anomalies of human society. If people take to it seriously, discharging this duty scientifically, as ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the world will see peace and prosperity instead of being confused and hopeless under useless governments. Prabhupada gives no quarter here. There are always rogues and thieves in human society, and as soon as a weak government is unable to execute its duties, these rogues and thieves come out to do their business. Thus, the entire society becomes a hell unfit for a gentleman to live in. There is an immediate need for a good government, a government by the people with Krishna consciousness. You know, that expression, government by the people, for the people, etc. So the Prabhupada's modified that a little bit. Unless the masses of people become Krishna conscious, they cannot be good men. The Krishna conscious movement that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra still has its potency. Therefore, people should understand it seriously and scientifically and spread it all over the world. The Sankirtan movement started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhyakanda, 23rd chapter, beginning with the verse 241, which states, "My dear Lord, let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet." Following Lord Chaitanya's chanting, all the devotees reproduced the same sound he chanted. In this way, the Lord proceeded, leading the entire party on the strand roads by the bank of the Ganges. When the Lord came to his own ghat, or bathing place, he danced more and more. Then he proceeded to Madhai's ghat. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, who was known as Vishwambar, danced all over the banks of the Ganges. Then he proceeded to Bhadrakona Ghat, the Nagariya Ghat, and traveling through Ganga Nagara, reached Simulia, a quarter at one end of the town. All these places surround Sri Mayapur. After reaching Simulia, the Lord proceeded towards the Qazi's house, and in this way he reached the door of the Chan Qazi. Translation. Naturally, some of the people who were very much agitated began to retaliate the Qazi's actions by wrecking his house and flower garden. All right. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described this incident. Thereafter, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the Qazi's house, he sat down by the doorway and sent some respectable persons to call for the Qazi. I guess Lord Chaitanya was a rabble-rouser, so he wanted to send some people that wouldn't scare the Qazi so much. When the Qazi came, his head bowed down. The Lord gave him proper respect and a seat. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Some of the men in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's civil disobedience movement were agitated because they could not control their minds. Okay. But the Lord was thoroughly peaceful, sober, and unagitated. Therefore, when the Qazi came down to see him, the Lord offered him proper respect and a seat because he was a respectable government officer. Thus, the Lord taught us by his personal behavior in pushing on our Sankirtan movement of Krishna consciousness, we might have to face difficult days, but we should always follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and do the needful according to the time and circumstances. Translation. In a friendly way, the Lord said, "Sir, I have come to your house as your guest, but upon seeing me, you hid yourself in your room. What kind of etiquette is this?" The Kazi replied, "You have come to my house in a very angry mood. To pacify you, I did not come before you immediately, but kept myself hidden. Now that you have become pacified, I have come to you. It is my good fortune to receive a guest like your honor." In our village relationship, Nilambar Chakravati Thakur was my uncle. Such a relationship is stronger than a bodily relationship. Purport. In India, even in the interior villages, all the Hindu and Muslim communities used to live very peacefully by establishing a relationship between them. The young men called the elderly members of the village by the name Chacha or Kaka. That has another meaning in another language. I won't go into it, though. Uncle. And the men of the same age called each other Dada, brother. The relationship was very friendly. There were even invitations from Mohammedan houses to Hindu houses, from Hindu houses to Mohammedan houses. Both the Hindus and the Mohammedans accepted the invitations to go to each other's houses to attend ceremonial functions. Even until 50 or 60 years ago, the relationship between Hindus and Muslims was very friendly, and there were no disturbances. We do not find any Hindu-Muslim riots in the history of India, even during the days of the Mohammedans' rule over the country. Conflict between Hindus and Muslims was created by polluted politicians, especially foreign rulers, and thus the situation gradually became, I think he's referring to the British, Prabhupada's referring to the British, and outside Muslims from the Middle East and so forth, became so degraded that India was divided into Hindustan and Pakistan. Fortunately, the remedy to unite not only Hindus and Muslims, but all communities and all nations can still be implemented by the Hare Krishna movement on the strong basic platform of love of Godhead. When India and Pakistan were divided up, there were terrible riots all over India and Pakistan. Thousands and thousands of people were killed. I mean, it was vicious. It was brutal. And it's still going on, even up to the present day. Not as bad, but it was horrible. I think I remember. I don't know. When did India and Pakistan break off? 48? 47, yeah, that was a little bit before my time. But I remember it somehow or other. Maybe I was there. Nilambar Chakravati is your translation. Nilambar Chakravati is your maternal grandfather, and by this friendship, you are thus my nephew. When a nephew is very angry, his maternal uncle is tolerant, and when the maternal uncle commits an offense, the nephew does not take it seriously. In this way, the Kazi and the Lord talked with one another with different indications, but no outsider could understand the inner meaning of their conversation. The Lord said, "My dear uncle, I have come to your home just to ask you some questions." "Yes," the Kazi replied, "you are welcome. Just tell me what it is in your mind. Just tell me what is in your mind. Since the bull and cow are your father and mother, how can you kill and eat them?" This is Lord Chaitanya. "What kind of religious principle is this? On what strength are you so daring that you commit such sinful activities?" Whenever the Christians would attack Prabhupada, the first thing he would say is, "Christ said, thou shalt not kill, so why are you killing?" That was his immediate response. He would blast them. "Why are you killing? And who said only humans? Why not animals also?" Purport by Srila Prabhupada. "Everyone can understand that we drink the milk of cows and take the help of bulls in producing agricultural products. Therefore, since our real father gives us..." Did I skip a page? Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, two pages stuck together. "Therefore, our real father gives us food grains and our mother gives us milk with which to live. The cow and bull are considered our father and mother. According to Vedic civilization, there are seven mothers, of which the cow is one. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu challenged the Mohammedan Qazi, what kind of religious principle do you follow by killing your father and mother to eat them? In any civilized human society, no one would dare kill his father and mother for the purpose of eating them. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya, although by the end of the Kali Yuga, that may be going on. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu challenged the system of Mohammedan religion as patricide and matricide. In the Christian religion, oh, here it is. In the Christian religion also, a principal commandment is, thou shalt not kill. Nevertheless, Christians violate this rule. They are very expert in killing and in opening slaughterhouses. In our Krishna consciousness movement, our first provision is that no one should be allowed to eat any kind of flesh. It does not matter whether it is cow's flesh or goat's flesh, but we especially stress the prohibition against cow's flesh because according to Shastra, the cow is our mother. Thus, the Mohammedans' cow killing was challenged by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Translation. The Qazi replied, as you have your scriptures called the Vedas and Puranas, we have our scripture known as the Holy Quran. Purport. Chand Qazi agreed to talk with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the strength of the scriptures. According to the Vedic scripture, if one can support his position by quoting from the Vedas, his argument is perfect. Similarly, when the Mohammedans support their position with quotations from the Quran, their arguments are also authorized. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised the question of the Mohammedans' cow killing and bull killing, Chand Qazi came to the standard of understanding from his scriptures. Translation. According to the Quran, there are two ways of advancement, through increasing the propensity to enjoy and decreasing the propensity to enjoy. On the path of decreasing attachment, Nivriti Marg, the killing of animals is prohibited. On the path of material activities, there is a regulation for killing cows. If such killing is done under the guidance of Scripture, there is no sin. So apparently the Quran has some provision for slaughtering cows. Certainly in the Old Testament, in the Jewish religion, they have this kosher ritual for slaughtering cows. And when Christ went into the temple in Jerusalem, they were killing, sacrificing so many animals, it's described that the blood was flowing down the steps of the temple in Jerusalem. There was so much animal killing going on there. No wonder Christ went ballistic. Everybody thinks it was this and that, but that's really what was going on. Purport. The word Shastra is derived from the Dhatu or verbal root Shas. Shas Dhatu pertains to controlling or ruling. A government's ruling through force or weapons is called Shastra. Thus, whenever there is ruling, either by weapons or by injunctions, the Shastatu is the basic principles. Between Shastra, ruling through weapons, and Shastra, I'm trying to think, there's one little difference between those two words. The second Shastra has a long V after the A, over the A, and that's the difference. What is it? There we go. Our Sanskrit scholars have set us straight. Anyway, the second Shastra, ruling through the injunctions of the scriptures. The better is Shastra, the latter, ruling through scriptures, or injunctions through scriptures. Our Vedic scriptures are not ordinary law books of human common sense. They are the statements of factually liberated persons unaffected by the imperfections of the senses. Shastra must be correct always, not sometimes correct and sometimes incorrect. In the Vedic scriptures, the cow is described as a mother. Therefore, she is a mother for all times. It is not, as some rascals say, that in the Vedic age she was a mother, but she is not in this age. If Shastra is an authority, the cow is mother always. She was a mother in the Vedic age, and she is a mother in this age also. If one acts according to the injunctions of Shastra, he is freed from the reactions of sinful activities. For example, the propensities for eating flesh, drinking wine, and enjoying sex life are all natural to the conditioned soul. The path of such enjoyment is called praviti marg. The Shastra says, praviti isham bhutanam nivritis tu mahaphalam. One should not be carried away by the propensities of defective conditioned life. One should be guided by the principles of the Shastras. A child's propensity is to play all day long, but it is the injunction of the Shastras that the parent should take care to educate him. The Shastras are there just to guide the activities of human society. Because people do not refer to the instructions of Shastras, which are free from defects and imperfections, they are therefore misguided by so-called educated teachers and leaders who are full of the deficiencies of conditioned life. Translation. As a learned scholar, the Kazi challenged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In your Vedic scriptures, there is an injunction for killing a cow. On the strength of this injunction, great sages perform sacrifices involving cow killing. Okay. Refuting the Kazi's statement, the Lord immediately replied, the Vedas clearly enjoin that cows should not be killed. Therefore, any Hindu, whoever he may be, does not indulge in cow killing. Purport. In the Vedic scriptures, there are concessions for meat eaters. It is said that if one wants to eat meat, he should kill a goat before the goddess Kali and then eat its meat. Meat eaters are not allowed to purchase meat or flesh from a market or a slaughterhouse. There are no sanctions for maintaining regular slaughterhouses to satisfy the tongues of meat eaters. As far as cow killing is concerned, it is completely forbidden. Since the cow is considered a mother, how could the Vedas allow cow killing? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that the Kazi statement was faulty. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a clear injunction that cows should not, that cows should be protected. Sri Goraksha Vaniyam Vaishyakarma Svabhavajam. The duty of Vaishyas is to produce agricultural products, trade, and give protection to cows. Bhagavad Gita 18:44. Therefore, it is a false statement that the Vedic scriptures contain injunctions permitting cow killing. So if anybody ever tries to tell you the Vedas allow this, now you know what to say. All right, a couple more here. In the Vedas and Puranas, there are injunctions declaring that if one can revive a living being, he can kill it for experimental purposes. Therefore, the great sages sometimes killed old animals, and by chanting Vedic hymns, they again brought them to life for perfection. The animal, soul of the animal was immediately brought back. The killing and rejuvenation of such old and invalid animals was not truly killing, but an act of great benefit. Formerly, there were powerful brahmanas who could make such experiments using Vedic hymns. But now, because of Kali Yuga, brahmanas are not so powerful. Therefore, the killing of cows and bulls for rejuvenation is forbidden. So apparently, the Kazi did have something that some nugget that he was hanging on to, because animals were sacrificed by perfect brahmins who could immediately bring them back to life in their next body. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. The offering of his horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas. I've got to read this again. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. Okay. I thought I might have misread it. The offering of a horse, offering of a cow, acceptance of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children and his brother's wife. Prabhupada could adjust these things according to Deshikalaparta. No one else can do that. Only Prabhupada could do that, because he was so acting directly according to Super Soul and his guru. Purport. This is a quotation from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Translation. Since you Mohammedans cannot bring killed animals back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. K. Cow killers are condemned to rot in hellish life for many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of the cow. So as many cows as they kill, as many hairs as they have on their bodies, that's how many births they're going to have to take and come back and be slaughtered and eaten themselves, actually. There are many mistakes and illusions in your scriptures. Their compilers, not knowing the essence of knowledge, gave orders that were against reason and argument. After hearing these statements by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Qazi, his argument stunned, could not put forward any more words. Thus, after due consideration, the Qazi accepted defeat and spoke as follows. Purport. In our practical preaching work, we meet many Christians who talk about statements of the Bible. When we question whether God is limited or unlimited, Christian priests say God is unlimited. But when we question why the unlimited God should have only one son and not unlimited sons, they are unable to answer. Prabhupada's telling us how to preach in these purports. Similarly, from a scientific point of view, the answers of the Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran to many questions have changed. But the Shastra cannot change at a person's will. All Shastras must be free from the four defects of human nature. The statements of Shastras must be correct for all time. And, of course, the Shastras, even with Shastra, bona fide Shastras, those Shastras, we should follow only those Shastras that are coming down in disciplic succession. There's many versions of the Bhagavad Gita. There's many versions of the Bhagavad Purana. There's many versions of the Bible. Unless it's coming down in a direct chain of disciplic succession, we should not follow it. We should connect only to the disciplic succession. All right, so is that enough for today or what? You can pick up when Lord Chaitanya responds to, well, the Qazi, all right, one more, because the Qazi says, my dear Nimai Pandit, what you have said is all true. Our scriptures have developed only recently, and they are certainly not logical and philosophical. So he's accepting defeat here. That's text 169, so you know where to pick up tomorrow. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.